is a bit nerve-wracking, I guess, to stand here this morning. I know many of you have known me from my childhood and can remember some of the things that I did in these hallways and I hope you won't hold it against me this morning. But I'm very very blessed to be here in Alfred. It always brings back such wonderful fond memories of church and of family and friends and I know it was a blessing to marry my wife for who she is, but it was also an added bonus that I got to add my name to the family of this church and the Schlenker family, and it just means so much to me to be here this morning with you. This morning, the message that I have for you has a strange title, and hopefully it'll help you remember a little bit about it. The title of it comes from a quote from my daughter. Not all of you have had a chance to meet my daughter Lily yet. She is quite the little girl. She has made it through many trials in her life. At this point, she's 5 years old, and the Lord has blessed her with healing and with miraculous healing from the time of her birth. She was a what's called a micro preemie, and most of you were aware of her situation. But she was born 1 pound and 12 ounces about 5 years ago. And to see her life just unfold has been a blessing to us. But recently, I was sitting with Lily, and she had she was playing a game on a little electronic device that her brother has, and she was playing this game, and it's an interesting game. It has the goal is to you run around this area, and you try to pick up little gold coins, and. Along the way, as you pick up these gold coins, you have the opportunity to pick up these little boxes. They're little treasure boxes as well, and so those really excite Lily a lot. And so when she gets to a treasure box, she hoots and hollers and puts her hand up and she says, "I got the treasure box, the mystery box." And usually she just quits the game right there because that's as far as she wants to go. She just wants to get to the treasure box. And so she gets to that, and then when she opens it up, there's something special inside for the game. And this particular treasure box, she opens up, and it has a bag, a picture of a bag of coins that add to the game. And she doesn't really like the coins all that much. She wants the treasure boxes with the cool stuff in it. And so she's sitting next to me, and she says, "Oh, brother, who wants a big bag of money? It looks like a big bag of money." And I had to laugh, and that is burned into my brain, and I keep thinking. I mean, I sat there thinking, I wouldn't mind a big bag of money. Most of us probably wouldn't mind a big bag of money, but right now she doesn't see much value in that big bag of money. She sees value in the other things that she could have gotten in that little treasure box, and so that's the title, I guess, of my message this morning is, "Who wants a big bag of money?" And so it's got me thinking about where we put our value, and where we in life where we put our treasures and what we value highly. I don't know if many of you took you celebrated the Thursday holiday, but I'm not sure how many celebrated the Friday holiday of the big shopping day of what they call it, Black Friday. Anyone go and face the big Black Friday sales or not? We were at Thanksgiving. We were looking at the sale ads and looking at all the stuff they got there, and it sure can entice you. Can I mean they put some good pictures out there. They make you feel like that is what I really need. Right there, I need that thing. And we were looking at them even there after we had lunch, and looking at all the TVs and thinking, boy, that would sure be nice to have one of those big flat screen TVs. And just, you know, the enticement of the stuff, the stuff that's in those magazines really kind of starts to work on you, and you start to think, oh, I think I'd need that. And so, you know, it's very real in our life, and I believe that that's something that we need to be careful of. And so this morning I want us to look at the scripture and see what Jesus teaches us about how we should view these things that we want so badly, how we should view this worldly wealth. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 10, but first turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and starting in verse 19. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can we lay aside those things that we want so badly? Can we realize that as the Lord gives us opportunity to have things, that we need to not focus on those things that are on this earth? Because Christ tells us that it all is going to pass away. That these things that we have around us, they're where moth and rust are going to corrupt it. It's nothing that we should put our hold on to. And so this message is to help us to put a good view on what it is that we should be focusing on. Now, if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affection on the things above and not on the things of earth." Set your affections on the things above and not on things on the earth. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Do we put a lot of value on the things that we have? Is it hard for us to let go of some of the things that we feel we've earned, some of the things that we feel like we need to have? If we're putting too much value on there, I'm afraid we're going to be disappointed when that all goes away. And I'm afraid that we're going to realize that what we should have put value on, we probably didn't. As we look at the main body of the verses, Mark chapter 10, I want us to pray and ask the Lord to bless us that we can understand His Word today. If you'll bow with me, let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, I just pray that Your blessing would be over us as we look into Your Word today. Father, help us to have open eyes to see and understand the teachings that You give to us. Father, give us peace and just, Father, use me this morning to speak Your words and to share the message that You have for Your people. God, I just pray that Your blessing would fall upon us, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, and we're going to go through this passage, and we're going to see what Jesus has to teach us. Because I think that as we look at the words of Jesus, we have to realize that He is our great teacher, and we have to really study His words to understand all of the implications in our life. And so this morning we're going to see a very straightforward teaching that Jesus gives us. In Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 23, we're going to go from 23 through 31 is going to be the body of the passage for this message. Now, we look, if you're aware of this particular passage, you know what has come before this. In the verses before chapter or verse 23, we're going to see that Jesus has been a young ruler that's come to Jesus and has said, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus begins to share with him. He says he starts to share with them some of the commandments. He shares about six commandments, and he says, "Well, teacher, I have followed these commandments all of my life. And so Jesus says, you're lacking yet in one. So I guess if we can go up a couple of verses there in 21, about halfway through, it says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up thy cross and follow me. And so this is the preface. This is the picture of what we're looking at this morning. And Jesus here is going to use this opportunity to teach his disciples a few truths about a few things here. Now, in this next verses, it says, I think that Jesus teaches us three very simple truths. He teaches us a hard truth about riches. He teaches us truth about redemption. And he teaches us truth about reward. So those are the three truths that we're going to see that Jesus will teach us as we look at this passage here. Let's go ahead and start. Verse 23. Now, remember, this is what's just happened. The young ruler has been told what he must do to be saved, and he's turned around and he's walked away from Jesus because the riches that he had were too great. He couldn't let go of them. They were what was controlling his life. He was not controlling his riches. His riches were controlling him. And so he turned and he was sad and he walked away from Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. And this is I would say this is the announcement that Jesus gives. And he says, and Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? That's quite an announcement. That's quite a statement to say that if you have riches, you will not enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for a lot of us to hear. It's like, I like riches. I like having things. I like having a nice car. I like to live in a nice home. I want to have nice clothing to wear. I like having some of the nicer things of life. And so it's hard for us to hear that he says, how hard is it for someone to has riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And so this announcement was very difficult for all of those people around him to hear. And it's hard for us to hear. It's hard for many of us to hear. And it's something that Jesus said very plainly. He doesn't really mince words here. He just says that this is the way it is. And so we need to understand that this is a truth that he's teaching us about riches. Now if we go on, verse 24. The first half of verse 24 says, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them. Now, the first half says the disciples were astonished at his words. They couldn't understand why he would say such a thing. Now, for people in that time, they believed that riches was a blessing from God. So for them, in their society, in their culture, they see this young man and they say, well, God must be blessing him because he has wealth. So this blessing must be from God. So he must be serving God well. And so they don't understand why Jesus, their teacher, would say that if you have riches, then you're going to have a hard time entering the kingdom of God because it doesn't work for them. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the entire chapter, we're not going to necessarily read that, but in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it outlines that if you follow God, that he will bless you. So again, they see this. They say, okay, well, if I honor God, then God will bless me. So that there's nothing wrong with riches. So this is conflicting for them. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it outlines that riches and honor come from thee, O God. So they see that riches come from God, so there's nothing wrong with riches. This is confusing to his disciples. And they're astonished. I mean, that's the word that we have. They cannot understand why Jesus would just make this pronouncement that if you have riches, that you will how hard it will be for you to enter the kingdom of God. And so it blows their mind a little bit. They just don't understand. So then we continue. As we look past 24, like the second half of 24. And here he says to them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So here Jesus gives them an analogy. He gives them something that they can maybe understand. And he says to them, children, he comes to them in an endearing way, and he says, you who I love, my children, come to me. Let me explain to you. He says, how hard is it going to be for them that trust in riches? Now, we didn't understand that. Those that trust in riches, how hard it will be for them to enter into the kingdom of God. And in verse 25, he uses what we kind of understand to be a hyperbole, and he uses an extreme exaggeration to help them be very clear, where he says that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, some people think that there's some leeway there in the camel through the eye of the needle, and that the eye of the needle may be a small gate on one side of Jerusalem there, and that it's very difficult for a camel to get through. And they've used analogies where you have to get on your knees in order to get he'd have to get on his knees in order to get through there. And there's not any real evidence of that, but it's something that we can look at. But I believe that Jesus was trying to make a point there. He says that it is going to be impossible. You cannot put a camel through the eye of a needle. If you trust in riches, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. It is impossible. I mean, he's making it very clear that if you trust only in riches, that you will not enter the kingdom of God. And we know this to be true because the scripture tells us that we have to trust in Jesus Christ alone. It's our faith in Jesus that gets us into the kingdom of heaven. It's not our trust in the things of this world. It's through Jesus. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. And so we know that it's only through Jesus that we can enter the kingdom of God. It's not through the riches that we have. It's not through the things that we have. We cannot work hard enough. We have to trust in Jesus in order to get to the kingdom of heaven. So when he says that those who trust in riches will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's very simple. And so he helps his disciples and he tells them that it's okay. Calm down. I know you're concerned right now because I just said that I made this statement about how hard it will be. But believe me that when I say if you trust in riches, you will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the idea of riches, this truth that Jesus gives us about riches that we're going to try to grasp today, and why is it so hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Why is it so hard for someone who is putting their trust and their faith in the things of this world to get into the kingdom of heaven? And so let's look at a few problems, just a few. And it seems like for us it may be a conflict of interest when we say problems being rich. Yeah, many of us think problems being poor. You know, we have a lot of problems when we're poor, but you know, when you're rich, you don't have any problems anymore. But there's a lot of problems, especially when it comes to our spiritual life when we have great riches. And Christ is giving us these. He's telling us this. This isn't something that we're making up. Jesus has told us this very straightforwardly. Some of the problems with riches is that people can be tempted to begin to hoard their riches. And that is not what God would have us do. That is not the way that we should be. If we are spending our time hoarding and looking down on our riches, then we're not, our hands aren't free to help. Our hands aren't open to reach out and help those that need it. Our eyes are watching our riches instead of looking up to Jesus. If we're not looking up, if we're not following the example of Jesus, and if we're looking down at the riches that we have, then we're gonna lose our relationship with Him. We're gonna find a relationship with these riches that we're hoarding, and so there can be a temptation to hoard what we have when there is great riches in our life. Riches can bring us a false trust. I don't know about you, but when the bank has a nice little bit of money in it, when the car has a full tank of gas, when the refrigerator is full of food, and when we feel like we have some things, we get this false sense of trust. I don't know about you, but I always got that false sense of trust that, okay, I know that my vehicle is doing good. It's all tuned up and it's got a full tank of gas. I can go 400 or 500 miles on that. My refrigerator is full of food, so I know that right now I can trust in this that I have right here in front of me, that I will be okay for a week or 2 or 3 weeks. I know that I have some money in the bank, so if something happens, I'm going to be okay. And so as we get more riches, we begin to put our trust in those things instead of in God. If we're trusting the things of earth, then we're going to, our trust is not in the right place. And so those riches can bring us a false sense of trust, and that's something that we need to be very careful of. Riches can bind us to earthly things. I don't know, I was thinking about this, and this popped into my head. A friend of mine used to run a small business, and one of the things he would do, I went over to his shop one time, and I look out, and I pull up, and I see all these really nice new trucks along the road there, or along in front of his building. And I went in, I said, "Are those customers, or, you know, what are all these nice vehicles out here?" He said, "No, those are my guys's. Those are the guys that work for me." I said, "Well, you must be paying them really, really well, because we had a friend of mine, and I had a similar shop to his, and our guys came in junky beater cars, and his guys were in these really nice fancy trucks." And I said, how are these guys getting all this stuff?" He said, "Well, basically what I do," he said, "once I find a guy that I like and I think you're a good guy to be in my business here, I tell him, you know, looks like you might need a new vehicle, you know, to kind of help you get to work on time and help you just help you generally with your family." And so he would say, if you want, I'll co-sign for you for a new truck." And they would get all excited. And most, I think every one of them went ahead and did it. And so what he would do was he would say, I will co-sign for you, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make sure that part of your paycheck goes towards this new truck." And so in a sense, he was tying them to his business. He'd say, "As long as you work for me, and as long as you do good work for me, you can keep this truck." And I thought, that's just pure evil. What is wrong with you? And I it was awful, and he just had this. He was not a Christian man, and he was just he was about good business and money, and he didn't care about the guys. He said, "You know, if they don't show up to work or whatever, then truck's gone. I pull my stuff out of the bank, and I say I'm no longer a signer on here," and he loses the truck because he can't afford it in the first place. He can only afford it if he stays working for me. And so he tied these men to his business. And it always kind of gave me the creeps. But I started thinking about that, and I thought, you know, when we tie ourselves to things on the earth, we begin to get more and more closely knit with earthly things, with worldly things. And that's not what God would have for us to be. He wouldn't have for us to need these things of the world. He wants us to rely on Him and to look on Him and to need the things of God, need the things of the Scriptures, need the Holy Spirit. We don't need some of the things that we feel like we do have, that we need. And so I think we have to be careful not to let ourselves get too tied down by earthly things. And then lastly, one of the problems that I see, riches can lead us into other sins. When we hold so tightly into those riches, we begin to fall into sins of maybe pride or arrogance or self-satisfaction. When we start to say, "Well, look at, you know, this is what I have done. I have gained all of this. My hands have worked all the stuff that you see out here. This great farm, this great home. This is all by my hands alone." And that pride is something that God is not very appreciative of. And so when we begin to have too many riches, we get very arrogant in our way. We think, "Well, it's because I'm so good, and it's because I'm so worthy of this money." And that is not what God would have us to be. I mean, we have to remember that the thing that we say, it's because of me, is God has given you strength. God has given you talents. God has given you the breath to work, and yet we start to take the pride upon ourselves. And so many times, as people begin to really gain lots and lots of riches, they find themselves falling into these sins of pride and arrogance and wanting to satisfy themselves and not worrying about those that are in need. So the first truth that we see that Jesus teaches us in this passage is this truth about riches and how it is difficult, how difficult it will be for those that believe in riches to get into the kingdom of heaven, because that is not what we should be putting our faith into. The second truth that we see that Jesus is teaching us as we look at the scripture here is redemption. Now let's look at verse 26 of the same chapter there. Verse 26 says, "And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Is there an amen to that one? With God all things are possible? The disciples, as in there in 26, they say, "Who then can be saved, Jesus? Because if you're saying that those who have riches, it's going to be hard for them to enter in the kingdom of heaven," even the disciples understood that they had earthly things, they had some wealth, they had some things in their life, their families had something. I mean, they weren't completely desolate. They had earthly things, and so they began to think, "Who then can be saved?" I think for us, it would be the same for us when we hear this verse that says, for those that are rich, how hard will it be to enter the kingdom of heaven? We think, well, I'm not rich. We look around and say, it's good none of us are rich, because we don't fall into that classification. A few weeks ago, my friend Brian came up and visited us at our church and was sharing some of his ministry opportunities in Africa and Haiti. And I thought to myself, you know, if those folks that have nothing, if they read this scripture, they probably think about us Americans, don't they? When they read those scriptures, when they think of those that are rich or have a hard time entering the kingdom of heaven, they probably think, oh, all those people over in America, they have everything. They have houses. They all have a car. They all have all that they need. They have bank accounts. They have refrigerators full of food. And I mean, it's because what we see as riches doesn't always. We don't feel that we are rich many times, but I know that we are. I know that the Lord has blessed each one of us. I look out and I see a parking lot full of cars. We're going to have a wonderful meal here right after this, and we can always, I mean, most of us got up this morning and had breakfast this morning, and we can go home this evening and have dinner this evening, and we know that we'll be able to eat for a long time, and we'll be able to have warmth in this cold weather, and we'll be able to have all these things, and we are rich. We are rich when it comes to the things of this world. But many of us don't feel that. And so the disciples say they were astonished out of measure. And they asked, who then can be saved? Because they knew that they had some wealth, they had some riches. And Jesus was seemingly condemning everyone. But in verse 27, Jesus answers them. And he says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So Jesus gives the answer to their question. He says that, yes, you're astonished. You're astonished that I say something like this, but you're right. With men, by yourself, you cannot be saved. By yourself, you cannot get over this addiction that you have to money, this addiction that you have to whatever it is that's causing you to have to separate you from God. And he says that it is impossible with men. And so Jesus says, but it is not impossible with God. And we have to realize that with God all things are possible. With God we can look beyond the things that we feel like we need. We can get past this addiction that we have to earthly things. And we can say, God, with you all things are possible. sometimes when we read this story, when we read this account, we think, you know, that when Jesus says, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you'll be laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We think, well, that doesn't really happen anymore. You know, that's not really what he meant. He didn't mean for all of us to sell all that we have and leave and go serve the poor. But I can tell you that it still happens. The Lord still does call us to do certain things. I have a friend that right now has sold all that he has, and he is following God's call, and he is going to serve God because he's sold his house. And he and his family, they've sold their cars, and they've sold their business. And they said, God, we're going to serve you, and we're going to do whatever you have us to do, and we're going to wait for you, God. We're going to pray, and we're going to wait for you, and when you tell us to go, we're going to go. So he does still require that of us. Not every one of us, but he does still call us to do that kind of thing. And so I don't think that this brother of mine could have done that without Jesus. I don't think that he could have sold everything that he had without having a great faith in Jesus. I don't think that any of us could break through some of the things that we hold on to so tightly without Jesus. Can Jesus break us of that addiction that we have? Can Jesus break us of the need that we have to have all the stuff that we see around us? Can he break us of the prison that we're in? This idea of redemption, meaning that we are, many times many of the Americans and people all over the world, we are locked up in a prison that says that we can't let go of this good stuff that we have. We can't let go of our house. We can't let go of our car. I mean, can many of you even imagine selling all that you have and leaving and going and serving God? It's hard. It's very, very hard. But if God calls you to do it, I pray that you will do it. I pray that you'll have faith like this friend of mine that is doing what God told him to do. And as he says that, I'm just going to follow God's call, I'm going to do it. And I believe that God will bless him. I believe that God will bless him very richly. He can redeem us from all of those things that we have. And so those two verses show us that God will redeem us. We learn a truth about redemption. And finally, in verse 28, we'll look at the last teaching that I think that Jesus is trying to show us as we look on. He's going to teach us a little bit about rewards. First, he has taught us truths about riches. Second, he has taught us a truth about redemption and how God is able to redeem us from anything that we may be bound up in. And third, he's going to teach us a truth about rewards. Verse 28 says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Here is what I like when I see Peter, and he does this, and he reminds me that Peter was a man. Peter was a human man that had concerns. He was a man. These disciples, they weren't bulletproof. They weren't just beyond measure when it came to their wisdom. And we have lots of examples that the disciples were mere men and they struggled. But I like to see that Peter says, I can just kind of see him raising his hand and saying, Lord, we gave all. We got rid of all and we followed you. So, is there something in it for us, Lord? I mean, I think that we've done what it takes. Is there something in it for us? Do we sometimes think is it really worth it? Is all the service that we give, is it worth it? Is the work, is it worth it? And we start to wonder, and many times we think, I sure hope this happens because I've really given up all. I'm going to give up all to follow my Lord Jesus. I'm going to give up all to follow the ways of God. And so Peter is saying, what's in it for us, Lord? He says, I just want to make sure I know. And so in verse 29, Jesus answers him. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So the calming words of Jesus come and they say, okay, you have left all. And you have followed me. You have not put your faith in the things of this world. You put your faith in me. You have done what I've asked you to do. You have followed me. And he says, if you've lost a sister, I will give you 100 sisters. If you've lost a house, I'll give you 100 houses. If you've lost a brother, I will give you 100 brothers. If you've lost a spouse, I'll give you 100 spouses. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is going to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give up my car, so I'd like 100 cars in return, please. I'm going to give up my house, so I'd like 100 houses in return, please. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying that I will give you an immeasurable amount of things back in this life, he says, right there. I know a lot of times we think, well, our reward is in heaven, but here he says, in this life, I will give you 100 times or 100-fold. Now, if we lose our sister and we follow Jesus, do we have 100 sisters? Absolutely. Our sisters in Christ, we have thousands of sisters in Christ. If we lose our brother, because if our brother turns his back on us because we are going to follow Jesus the way that he told us to do, are we going to gain 100 brothers? Absolutely. We gain all these brothers in Christ. If our spouse is not going to be with us because we were going to follow Jesus, we're going to follow God, we're going to believe and we're going to do what he says. If our spouse doesn't follow us there, then he will give us comfort and say, I will give you 100 spouses. I'll give you 1,000 spouses. I will give you people that are closer than a brother. I will build a family around you of the family of God in this world. I will build a family of God around you. And that's the promise that he gives us. And then after it's all done, after he says that I will repay you 100 times what you have lost, after that, it cracks me up a little bit, but it's almost like, and then I will do this. What does he say there? After he says, I will give you all the houses and brothers and sisters. And in the end he says, and by the way, in the world to come, I'll give you eternal life. In the world to come, I'll give you eternal life. If it's not enough, well, what I will do for you on this world, when you turn your back on the world and you follow me, I will give you all of these things. And to top it all off, to put the icing on the cake, I'm going to give you eternal life in the time to come. It's amazing that it's such this little tiny verse, but it just brings me so much joy that I know that he makes this statement here to us, and he says, and I will give you eternal life in the world to come. 29 and 30 are the calming words of Jesus that we should be holding on to. Now, when we get to verse 31, Jesus has started with a statement when he said, how hard will it be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? He who puts his trust in the things of this world will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And so in verse 31, after he's helped his disciples see these teachings about riches, about how he will redeem them from any prison, from any thing that they're being held by, and he's going to give them this truth about rewards, he gives them a very clear warning. Verse 31, he says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The last little bit of teaching that he teaches us is that if you finish first in the eyes of the world, you're going to finish last in the eyes of God. If you believe that bumper sticker that says, he who has the most toys wins, you're going to finish last in the eyes of God. Because we put too much faith in the things of this world. And if we're trying to achieve the goals that the world sets before us, then we are not looking to God to follow the goals that he has for us. God has made them very clear. He set out his guidelines very clear how we should be. And Jesus himself says there how it is that we should lay up treasures in heaven, and that is sell all we have and give to the poor. And if you take that back into saying, you know, giving to the poor, giving of ourselves to the poor, giving of our time and our efforts and the money that we are blessed with, to help those that need help, bring those up those are the least of these. If we're helping the least of these, then we are laying up treasures in heaven. And that's what he's trying to tell us. So that clear warning in verse 31, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The season that we are in right now is about stuff. It's about getting things. It's about worldly things. And we need to not be enticed by the things of this world. We need to be careful to check ourselves every day and say, what am I focused on today? What am I putting my efforts in? Where the scripture said that where your treasure is, your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, your heart will also be. And so we have to look each day and say, where is my treasure today? Am I treasuring my time in the Lord? Am I treasuring my time in the scripture? Am I treasuring my prayer life with God? Or am I treasuring my time of gaining money? Am I treasuring my time in working towards getting that brand new shiny big truck? If we ask ourselves truly every day, where am I putting my time? Where am I examining ourselves and say, where are my riches at? Then I believe that the Lord will help us to stay on track with him. It's hard. It's very hard. And I just pray that the Lord will bless you today. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so very much for your word today. Father, I thank you for the teachings of Jesus and for understanding what it is that he's trying to tell us. Father, that if we trust in the things of the world, we cannot be saved. That our salvation only comes in Jesus Christ. It only comes in our faith in Jesus. And Father, I just pray that you will help us recognize when we are putting our treasures here on this earth, and help us, Father, to turn away and to break free from those needs and those necessities that we feel like we have to have, even though, God, I know that we don't. God, just open up our eyes and help us to see how we can use the things that you bless us with, how we can use the wealth that we do have, the riches that we do have, to bring others into the kingdom of God, how we can bring others to a closer relationship with you. So, Father, that our treasures will be in heaven and not here on this earth. God, please don't let us finish first in the eyes of the world. Please let us finish first in your eyes. Help us to understand what that is and what that means in our life, God. And I just pray you'll bless us as we look at your word. We just praise you today, Father, for your Sabbath. And we just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.